Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents The Hope of Elantris, narrated by Colleen Delaney, performed by Kimberly Gilbert, Mort Shelby, James Lewis, Richard Rowan, Michael John Casey, Colleen Delaney, Danny Gavigan, Tracy Oliveira, Eric Messner, Nanette Savard, Chris Davenport, Evan Casey, Scott McCormick, Ken Jackson, Dylan Lynch, Thomas Penny, and Rose Elizabeth Supan.
My lord.
Ash hovered in through the dining room window.
Lady Serene begs your forgiveness. She's going to be a tad late for dinner.
A tad? Dinner was supposed to start an hour ago.
Ash pulsed slightly.
I'm sorry, my lord, but she made me promise to relay a message if you complained. Tell him, she said, that I am pregnant and it's his fault, so that means he has to do what I want.
Ash pulsed again, looking as embarrassed as a Saiyan could, considering he was simply a ball of light. Raoden rested his arms on the table of his palace inside Elantris. The walls around him glowed with a very faint light, and no torches or lanterns were necessary. He'd always wondered about the lack of lantern brackets in Elantris. Galadon had once explained that there were plates made to glow when pressed, but they'd both forgotten just how much light had come from the stones themselves. Raoden looked down at his empty plate.
We once struggled so hard for just a little bit of food. Now it's so commonplace that we can spend an hour dallying before we eat.
Yet food was plentiful. Raoden himself could turn garbage into fine corn. Nobody in Aralon would ever go hungry again. Still, thinking about such things took his mind back to New Elantris and the simple peace he'd forged inside the city.
Oh, Ash. I've been meaning to ask you something.
Of course, Your Majesty.
Where were you during those last hours before Elantris was restored? I don't remember anything of you for most of the night. In fact, the only time I remember seeing you is when you came to tell me that Serene had been kidnapped and taken to Teod.
That's true, Your Majesty.
So, where were you?
The Saiyan floated down beside Raoden's chair.
It is a long story, Your Majesty. It began when Lady Serene sent me ahead to New Elantris to warn Galadon and Karata that she was sending them a shipment of weapons. That was just before the monks attacked Kay, and I went to New Elantris completely unaware of what was about to occur.
Matisse took care of the children. That was her job in New Elantris. Everyone had to have a job. That was Spirit's rule. She didn't mind her job. Actually, she rather enjoyed it. She'd been doing it for longer than Spirit had been around. Ever since Dasha had found her and taken her back to Karata's palace, Matisse had been watching after the little ones. Spirit's rules just made it official. Yes, she enjoyed the duty. Most of the time.
Do we really have to go to bed, Matisse?
Teor gave Matisse his best wide-eyed look.
Can't we stay up just this once?
You had to go to bed yesterday at this time, Teor. And the day before. And, actually, the day before that. I don't see why you think today should be any different.
Teal stepped up beside his friend Teor.
Something's going on. The adults are all drying aeons.
Matisse glanced out the window. The children, the 50 or so of them beneath her care, stayed in an open-windowed building dubbed the Roost because of the intricate carvings of birds on most of its walls. The Roost was located near the center of the city within a city, close to Spirit's own home, the Karathi Chapel, where he held most of his important meetings. The adults wanted to keep a close watch on the children. Unfortunately, that meant that the children could also keep a close watch on the adults. Outside the window, flashes of light sparked from hundreds of fingers drawing aeons in the air. It was late, far later than the children should have been up, but it had been particularly difficult to get them to bed this night.
Tio is right. Something is going on.
That, however, was no reason to let him stay up, especially because the longer he stayed awake, the longer it would be before she'd be able to go out and investigate the commotion herself.
It's nothing.
Doesn't look like nothing to me.
Matisse looked back at the other children. Though some of them had begun to bed down in their brightly colored sheets, many had perked up and were watching Matisse deal with the two troublemakers.
Well, they're writing aeons. If you're that interested, I suppose that we could make an exception and let you stay up. Assuming you want to practice writing aeons. I'm sure we could fit in another school lesson tonight.
Teor and Teal both paled. Drawing aeons was what one did in school, something that Spirit had forced them to begin attending again. Matisse smiled slyly to herself as the two boys backed away.
Oh, come now, get your quills and paper. We could draw Aeon Ash 100 or so times.
The boys got the hint and slipped back to their respective beds. On the other side of the room, several of the other workers were moving among the children, making certain that they were sleeping. Matisse did likewise.
Matisse! I can't sleep!
Matisse turned toward where a young girl was sitting up in her bedroll.
How do you know, Rika? We just put you to bed. You haven't tried to sleep yet.
I know I won't be able to. Ma always tells me a story before I sleep. If he doesn't, I can't sleep.
Rika rarely slept well, especially on nights when she asked for her Seon. It had, of course, gone mad when Rika had been taken by the Shad.
Lie down, dear. See if sleep comes.
It won't.
But Rika did lie down. Matisse made the rest of her rounds, then walked to the front of the room. She glanced over the huddled forms, many of whom were still shuffling and moving, and acknowledged that she felt their same apprehensiveness. Something was wrong with this night. Lord Spirit had disappeared, and while Galadon told them not to worry, Matisse found it a foreboding sign.
What are they doing out there?
Matisse turned to see Idotris standing beside her. She glanced outside, where many of the adults were standing around Galadon, drawing the aeons in the night.
Aeons don't work.
The teenage Idotris was perhaps 2 years older than Matisse. Not that such things really mattered in Elantris, where everyone's skin was the same blotchy gray, their hair limp or simply gone. The Shad tended to make ages difficult to determine.
That's no reason not to practice aeons. There's a power to them. You can see it.
Indeed, there was a power behind the aeons. Matisse had always been able to feel it, raging behind the lines of light drawn in the air.
Useless.
Matisse smiled. She wasn't certain if Idotris was always so grumpy, or if he just tended to be that way when he worked at the Roost. He didn't seem to like the fact that he, as a young teenager, had been relegated to childcare instead of being allowed to join Dasha's soldiers.
Stay here.
Matisse wandered out of the Roost toward the open courtyard where the adults were standing. Matisse wandered through the open streets of New Elantris. The night was crisp, but the cold didn't bother Matisse. That was one of the advantages of being an Elantrian. She seemed to be one of the few who could see things that way. The others didn't look at being an Elantrian as an advantage, no matter what Lord Spirit said. To Matisse, however, his words made sense. But perhaps that had to do with her situation. On the outside, she'd been a beggar. She'd spent her life being ignored and feeling useless. Yet inside of Elantris, she was needed, important. The children looked up to her, and she didn't have to worry about begging or stealing food. True, things had been fairly bad before Dasha had found her in a sludge-filled alley, and there were the wounds. Matisse had one on her cheek, a cut she'd gotten soon after entering Elantris. It still burned with the same pain it had the moment she'd gotten it, yet that was a small price to pay. At Karata's palace, Matisse had found her first real taste of usefulness. That sense of belonging had only grown stronger when Matisse, along with the rest of Karata's band, had moved to New Elantris. Of course, there was something else she'd gained by getting thrown into Elantris. A father. Dasha turned, smiling in the lantern light as she approached. He wasn't her real father, of course. She'd been an orphan even before the Shahid had taken her. And, like Karata, Dasha was kind of a parent to all of the children they'd found and brought to the palace. Yet Dasha seemed to have a special affection for Matisse. The stern warrior smiled more when Matisse was around, and she was the one he called on when he needed something important done. One day, she'd simply started calling him father. He'd never objected. He laid a hand on her shoulder as she joined him at the very edge of the courtyard. His other hand rested on the pommel of his sword. In front of them, 100 or so people moved their arms in near unison. Their fingers left glowing lines in the air behind them, the trails of light that had once produced the magics of Aeon Dor. Galadon stood at the front of the group, leading the group through the movements.
Never thought I'd see the day when the dueler taught people aeons.
He's tense, too.
Be nice, father. Galadon is a good man.
He's a good man, perhaps. But he's no scholar. He messes up the lines more than not.
Matisse didn't point out that Dasha himself was pretty terrible when it came to drawing aeons. She noted the frown on his lips.
You're mad that Spirit hasn't come back yet.
He should be here, with his people, not chasing that woman.
There might be important things for him to learn outside. Things to do with other nations and armies.
The outside doesn't concern us.
He can be such a stubborn one at times. Well, most times, actually.
Good. That's Aeon Dar, the Aeon for power. Golo? Now, we have to practice adding the chasm line. We won't add it to Aeon Dar. Don't want to blow holes in our pretty sidewalks now, do we? We'll practice it on Aeon Ra instead. That one doesn't seem to do anything important.
What's he talking about, Father?
Seems the spirit believes the aeons might work now, for some reason. We've been drawing them wrong all along, or something like that. I can't see how the scholars who designed them could have missed an entire line for every aeon, though.
Matisse doubted that scholars had ever designed the aeons.
There's just something too primal about them. They're things of nature. They haven't been designed any more than the wind has been designed.
Still, she said nothing. Dasha was a kind and determined man, but he didn't have much of a mind for scholarship. That was fine with Matisse. It had been Dasha's sword, in part, that had saved New Elantris from destruction at the hands of the wild men. There was no finer warrior in all of New Elantris than her father. Yet she did watch with curiosity as Galadon talked about the new line. It was a strange one, drawn across the bottom of the Aeon.
And this makes the aeons work? It seems like such a simple fix. Can it be possible?
The sound came from behind them, and they turned, Dasha nearly pulling his sword. A Saeon hung in the air behind them, not one of the insane ones that floated madly about Elantris, but a sane one, glowing with a full light.
Ash!
Lady Matisse.
I'm no lady. You know that.
The title has always seemed appropriate to me, Lady Matisse. Lord Dasha, is Lady Karata nearby?
She's in the library.
Library? What library?
Ah, perhaps I can deliver my message to you then, as Lord Galadon appears to be busy.
If you wish.
There is a new shipment coming, my lord. Lady Serene wished that you be made aware of it quickly, as it is of an important nature.
Food?
No, my lady. Weapons.
Really?
Yes, Lord Dasha.
Why would she send those?
My mistress is worried. It seems that tensions are growing on the outside. She said, well, she wants New Elantris to be prepared, just in case.
I'll gather some men immediately and go collect the weapons.
Ash bobbed, indicating that he thought this to be a good idea. As her father walked off, Matisse eyed the Saeon, a thought occurring to her.
Ash, could I borrow you for a moment?
Of course, Lady Matisse. What do you need?
Something simple, really, but it might just help.
Ash had just finished his story, and Matisse smiled to herself, eyeing the sleeping form of the little girl Riika in her bedroll.
She seemed peaceful for the first time in weeks.
Bringing Ash into the roost had initially provoked quite a reaction from the children who weren't asleep. Yet as he'd begun to talk, Matisse's instincts had proven correct. The Seon's voice had quieted the children. Hearing a story from a Seon had not only coaxed little Riika to sleep, but the rest of the stragglers as well. Matisse stood, stretching her legs, then nodded toward the doors outside. Ash hovered behind her, passing the sullen idotris at the front doors again. He was tossing pebbles toward a slug that had somehow found its way into New Elantris. When they were far enough away not to wake the children, Matisse stopped.
I'm sorry to take so much of your time, Ash.
Nonsense, Lady Matisse. Lady Serene can spare me for a bit, I think. Besides, it is good to tell stories again. It has been some time since my mistress was a child.
You were passed to Lady Serene when she was that young?
At her birth, my lady.
Matisse smiled wistfully.
You should have your own Seon someday, I should think, Lady Matisse.
What makes you say that?
Well, there was a time when almost no Elantrian went without a Seon. I'm beginning to think that Lord Spirit may just be able to fix this city. After all, he fixed Aeon Dor. And if he does, we shall find you a Seon of your own. Perhaps one named Ati. That is your own Aeon, is it not?
Yes. It means hope.
A fitting Aeon for you, I believe. Now, if my duties here are finished, perhaps I should...
Matisse!
Matisse cringed, glancing at the roost, filled with its sleeping occupants. A light was bobbing in the night, coming down a side street, the source of the yelling.
Matisse?
Hush, Maresh!
Matisse crossed the street quietly to where the man stood.
The children are sleeping!
Oh!
The haughty Elantrian wore standard New Elantris clothing, bright trousers and shirt, but he had modified his with a couple of sashes that he believed made the costume more artistic.
Where's that father of yours?
Shh! Training the people with swords!
What? It's the middle of the night.
You know Dasha, once he gets an idea in his head.
First Galadon wanders off, now Dasha is off waving swords in the night. If only Lord Spirit would come back.
Galadon's gone?
He disappears like this sometimes. Karada too. They'll never tell me where they've gone. Always so secretive. You're in charge, Maresh, they say, then go off to have secret conferences without me. Honestly.
With that, the man wandered off, bearing his lantern with him.
Off somewhere secret. That library Dasha mentioned?
She eyed Ash, who was still hovering beside her.
Perhaps if I coax him enough, he'll tell me.
Matisse jumped. She spun about, trying to determine the location of the sounds. They seemed to be coming from the front of New Elantris.
Ash!
I'm already going, Lady Matisse.
The Seon zipped into the air, a glowing speck in the night. Matisse shivered, backing up unconsciously toward the roost. Taed, the adult who supervised the roost, walked out of the building in his nightgown. Even in the darkness, Matisse could see a look of concern on his face.
Wait here.
Idotris emerged, looking around in fright.
Don't leave us!
I'll be back.
Matisse shared a look with Idotris. The other teenagers who had been on duty watching the kids had already gone to their own homes for the night. Only Idotris and she remained.
I'm gonna go with him!
Matisse grabbed his arm and pulled him back.
Oh, no you don't!
Hey!
Go wake the kids!
What? After all the work we did to get them to sleep?
Do it! Get them up and have them put their shoes on!
Ugh!
Idotris resisted for a moment, then stalked inside the room. Matisse rushed over to a building across the street, one of the supply buildings. Inside, she found two lanterns with oil in them, and some flint and steel. She stopped suddenly.
What am I doing?
She shivered.
I am just being prepared.
She rushed back across the street.
My lady!
Matisse glanced up to see that the Seon was flying back down toward her. His Aeon was so dim that she could barely see him.
My lady, soldiers have attacked New Elantris.
What?
They wear red and have the height and dark hair of Fjordals, my lady. There are hundreds of them. Some of your soldiers are fighting at the front of the city, but there are far too few of them. New Elantris is already overrun. My lady, the soldiers are coming this way, and they're searching through the buildings.
No. No, it can't happen. Not here. This place is peaceful. Perfect. I escaped the outside world. I found a place where I belonged. It can't come after me.
My lady, those screams. I think the soldiers are attacking the people they find.
And they're coming this way.
Matisse stood, lanterns clutched in numb fingers.
This is the end, then.
After all, what could she do? Nearly a child herself, a beggar, a girl without family or home. What could she do?
I take care of the children. It's my job. It's the job Lord Spirit gave me.
Ash, we have to get them out. They know where to look because we cleaned this section of Elantris. The city is huge. If we get the children out into the dirty part, we can hide them.
Yes, my lady.
You go find my father. Tell him what we're doing.
Right away.
Ash hovered away into the night as she entered the roost. Idotris had done as she asked, and the children were groggily putting on their shoes.
Quickly, children!
What's going on?
We've got to go. Teal, Teor, I'm going to need your help. You and all of the older children, all right? You have to try and help the young ones. Keep them moving and keep them quiet, all right?
Why? What's going on?
It's an emergency, Teal. That's all you need to know.
Teor stepped up to join Teal, folding his arms.
Why are you in charge?
You know my father?
They nodded.
You know he's a soldier?
Again a nod.
Well, that makes me a soldier too. It's hereditary. He's a captain, so I'm a captain, and that means I get to tell you what to do. You can be my sub-captains, though, if you promise to do what I say.
The two younger boys paused. Then Teal nodded.
Makes sense.
Good. Now move!
The boys moved over, helping the younger children.
Quickly! Children, we're going outside now!
Matisse began to herd them out the front door, into the darkened streets. Many of them, however, had caught on to the terror of the night and were too scared to move. Idotris came closer.
Matisse, what is going on?
Ash says New Elantris is under attack. Soldiers are slaughtering everyone.
She lit the lanterns. As she'd expected, the children, even the little ones, gravitated toward the light and the sense of protection it offered. She handed one lantern to Idotris, and by its light she could see his terrified face.
What do we do?
We run.
Matisse rushed out of the room, and the children followed. Rather than be left behind in the dark, they ran after the light. Teal and Teor helped the smaller ones. Idotris tried to hush those who began to cry. Matisse was worried at bringing light, but it seemed the only way. Indeed, they barely kept the children moving as it was, herding them in the fastest way out of New Elantris, which was also the way directly away from the screams. That also took them away from the populated sections of New Elantris. Matisse had hoped that they'd run into someone who could help as they moved. Unfortunately, those who weren't out practicing Aeons were with her father practicing with weapons. The only occupied buildings would have been the ones Ash had indicated were being attacked. Their occupants.
No! Don't think about that!
Their ragged band of 50 children reached the edges of New Elantris. They were almost free. They could... Matisse spun, looking back over the heads of the frightened children. The center of New Elantris was glowing faintly. From firelight.
It's burning.
There, framed by the flames of death, was a squad of three men in red uniforms. They carried swords. Matisse's hand shook as it held the lantern.
Surely they won't kill children.
Then she saw the glint in the soldiers' eyes, a dangerous, grim look. They advanced on her group.
Yes, they will kill children. Elantrian children, at least.
Run!
No. The children can't move faster than those men.
Run! Go and...
Suddenly, as if out of nowhere, a ball of light zipped from the sky. Ash moved between the men, spinning around their heads, distracting them. The men waved their swords about in anger, looking up at the Saeon, which is why they completely missed seeing Dasha charge them. He knocked one down, sword flashing. He spun toward another two.
We need to go! Move!
The children backed away from the sword fight, moving out into the night, following Idotris's light. Matisse stayed near the back, turning with concern toward her father. He wasn't doing well. He was an excellent warrior, but the soldiers had been joined by two other men, and Dasha's body was weakened by being an Elantrian. Matisse stood, holding her lantern in trembling fingers, uncertain what to do. The children were in the dark behind her, their retreat painfully slow. Dasha fought bravely, his rusty sword replaced by one that Serene must have sent. He knocked aside blade after blade, but he was getting surrounded.
I have to do something.
She stepped forward. At that moment, Dasha turned, and she could see cuts on his face and body. The look of dread she saw in his eyes made her freeze with fright. One of the soldiers rammed his sword through Dasha's chest.
No!
Her scream drew their attention as Dasha collapsed, quivering on the ground. The pain had become too much for him. The soldiers began to advance. Dasha had taken down several of them, but there were three left. Matisse felt numb.
Please, my lady, you must run!
Father is dead. No. Worse. He's Hoad.
Matisse shook her head, forcing herself to stay alert. She'd seen tragedy as a beggar.
I can keep going. I have to. These men will find the children. The children are too slow. Unless...
She looked up at the Saeon beside her, noting the glowing Aeon at his center. It meant...
Light!
Ash, find Idotris ahead. Tell him to put out his lantern, then lead him and the others to someplace safe.
Someplace safe? I don't know of any place is safe.
That library you spoke of, where is it?
Ah, straight north from here, my lady. In a hidden chamber beneath a squat building. It is marked by Aeon Rao.
Galadin and Karada are there. Take the children to them. Karada will know what to do.
Yes, that sounds good.
Don't forget about the lantern!
Matisse turned to face the advancing soldiers. Then, with a quivering finger, she raised a hand and began to draw. Light burst from the air, following her finger in the air. She forced herself to remain steady, completing the Aeon despite her fear. The soldiers paused as they watched her. They continued to advance on her. Matisse finished the Aeon. Aeon Ash, the same one inside of her Saeon friend. But of course the Aeon didn't do anything. It just hung there like they always did. The soldiers approached uncaringly, stepping right up to it.
This had better work.
Matisse put her finger in the place that Galadon had described and drew the final line. Immediately the Aeon Ash, began to glow with a powerful light that was right in front of the soldiers' faces. They stumbled back. Matisse reached down, grabbed her lantern, and ran. The soldiers followed, and like the children before, they went toward the light, her light. Idotris and the others weren't that far away. She could see their shadows still moving in the night, but the soldiers had been blinded too much to notice the faint movements, and Idotris had put out his light. The only thing for the soldiers to focus on was her lantern. Matisse led them away into the dark night, carrying her lantern in terrified fingers. She entered Elantris proper. Sludge and darkness replaced the clean cobbles of new Elantris, and Matisse had to stop moving as quickly, lest she slide and stumble. She hurried anyway, rounding corners, trying to stay ahead of her pursuers. She turned a corner and ran afoul of a pair of soldiers standing in the night.
They're trained soldiers. Of course they know how to surround an enemy and cut them off.
She spun to run, but one of the men grabbed her arm. She dropped the lantern.
Nothing! You only have a moment!
Her feet slipped in the sludge. She paused, then let herself fall, kicking at her captor's leg. Her kick proved true, and the soldier immediately slipped, stumbling into his companion and crashing back to the slimy cobbles as he released Matisse. She scrambled to her feet, her beautiful bright clothing now stained with Elantris sludge. Her leg flared with a new pain.
My ankle! No!
She'd been so careful in the past to keep free of major pains, but this one was stronger than anything she'd gotten before, far stronger than her cheek cut. Her leg burned with a pain she could barely believe, and it didn't abate. It remained strong. An Elantrian's wounds would never heal. Still, she forced herself to limp away. She moved without thinking, only wishing to get away from the soldiers. She didn't realize that she had made a circle until she saw the glow of New Elantris burning in front of her.
I'm back where I started!
She paused. There he was, Dasha, lying on the cobbles. She rushed to him, not caring anymore about pursuit. Her father lay with the sword still impaling him.
Run, Matisse. Run to safety.
The mantra of a hoed. Matisse stumbled to her knees.
The children are safe. That's enough.
A soldier was approaching. His companion must have gone a different direction. This man was stained with slime and she recognized him. He was the one she had kicked.
My leg hurts so much.
She turned over, holding to Dasha's immobile body, too tired and too pained to move any further. The soldier grabbed her by the shoulder and pulled her away from her father's corpse. He spun her around, the action bringing other pains to her arms.
You tell me where other children went.
I don't know.
But she did. Ash had told her.
Why did I ask him where the library is? If I don't know, I can't give them away.
You tell!
The soldier held her with one hand. He reached for his belt knife with the other.
You tell, or I hurt you. Bad.
If her Elantrian eyes could have formed tears, she would have been crying. As if to prove his point, the soldier held up his knife before her. Matisse had never felt such terror in her life. And that was when the ground began to shake. The horizon had begun to glow with the coming of dawn, but that light was overshadowed by a sudden burst of light from around the perimeter of the city. The soldier paused, looking up at the sky.
Hello?
Suddenly, Matisse felt warm. She didn't realize how much she'd missed feeling warm, how much she'd grown used to the stale coolness of an Elantrian body. But the warmth seemed to flow through her, like someone had injected some hot liquid into her veins. It was a beautiful, amazing feeling.
Oh, something is right. Something is wonderfully right.
The soldier turned toward her suddenly. He cocked his head, then reached out and rubbed a rough finger across her cheek, where she had been wounded long ago.
Healed?
She felt...
My heart!
The man raised his knife again.
You have healed, but I can hurt you again.
Her body felt stronger, yet she was still just a young girl and he a trained soldier. She struggled, her mind barely beginning to comprehend that her skin was no longer blotched, but had turned a silvery color.
It's happening, like Ash predicted. Elantris is returning.
And she was still going to die.
It isn't fair.
She tried to wiggle free. The irony seemed perfect. The city was being healed, but that couldn't prevent this terrible man from...
I think you missed something, friend.
Hello?
If the light healed her, then it healed me, too.
The soldier dropped Matisse. She stepped back, and as the terrible man collapsed, she could finally see who was standing behind.
Oh, Father!
He was glowing with an inner light, the taint removed from his body. He seemed like a god, silvery and spectacular. His clothing was ripped where he'd been wounded, but the skin was healed. In his hand, he held the very sword that had been impaling him moments before. It was stained with the soldier's blood. She ran to him, and she grabbed him in an embrace.
I can cry again.
Where are the other children, Matisse?
I took care of them, Father. Everyone has a job, and that's mine. I take care of the children.
Interesting. And what happened to the children?
I led them back to the library. Galadin and Karata were gone by then. We must have missed them as they ran back to New Elantris. But I hid the children inside and stayed with them to keep them calm. I was so worried about what was happening inside the city. But those poor things...
I understand. And Matisse, Dasha's little daughter, I had no idea what she'd gone through.
Raudin smiled. He'd given Dasha two Saeons, ones whose masters had died and who had found themselves without anyone to serve once they recovered their wits when Elantris was restored, in thanks for his services to New Elantris. Dasha had given one to his daughter.
Which Saeon did she end up with? Adi?
Actually, no. I believe it was Aeol.
Equally appropriate.
Raoden smiled and stood as the door opened. His wife, Queen Sareen, entered, pregnant belly first. Ash hovered over to Sareen.
I agree.
Aeo. It meant bravery. The Hope of Elantris is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2006, Brandon Sanderson. All rights reserved. Recorded with the permission of the author and Dragonsteel Entertainment, LLC. Production copyright 2017, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and/or duplication prohibited. Performed by Colleen Delaney as the narrator and Idotris. Kimberly Gilbert as Matisse, Mort Shelby as Ash, and James Lewis as Dasha, with Richard Rowan, Michael John Casey, Danny Gavigan, Tracy Oliveira, Eric Messner, Nanette Savard, Chris Davenport, Evan Casey, Scott McCormick, Ken Jackson, Dylan Lynch, Thomas Penny, and Rose Elizabeth Supan. Directed by Rose Elizabeth Supan. Produced by Rick Rowan, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. Executive producers, James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Johann Detweiler. Theme music and original music by Johann Detweiler. Story adapted for graphic audio by Johann Detweiler. If you enjoyed The Hope of Elantris, be sure to listen to Brandon Sanderson's Elantris, Mistborn, and the Stormlight Archive, all available in graphic audio at Road Stops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll find samples of all our action-pumped titles, as well as free downloads and podcasts.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can select from over 900 titles and 60 series in either CD or high-quality download formats. If you would like to listen to an entire series, you can conveniently purchase the whole sets on CD or USB flash drive from graphicaudio.net. At graphicaudio.net, you can now earn loyalty rewards points, redeemable toward future online purchases. You can also get full mobile downloads directly to your phone or tablet with our new Graphic Audio Access app, available on all Android and Apple devices, so you can listen on the go, anytime, anywhere. Call 1-800-670-5220 or visit www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our email newsletter, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter.